Welcome to the Minnesota Court of Appeals. We have our calendar set for today, January 17, 2019. Counsel, I believe you're familiar with appellate process. I want to remind you, 15 minutes. You can adjust the podium to your height if you need to do that. And an additional 5 minutes is reserved to appellant counsel for rebuttal if you choose to use that. When you begin, please state your name and indicate which party you're speaking on behalf of for our records. When you're ready, you can proceed.
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is John Geffen, and I represent Open Arms Christian Learning Center. Open Arms is a mission-based child care center that provides services to a diverse group of children, diverse in ethnicity, race, and socioeconomic classes. We're here today on an appeal of a determination by the Department of Human Services that Open Arms committed maltreatment against a minor in its care. I'm going to raise two and maybe more issues as we go along, but the two I was going to identify right away was that the Department of Human Services' reliance on a manufacturer's recommendation and nothing else is an error of law when making a maltreatment determination. And that the climber that's involved in this case, an exposure to the climber, is not a condition that seriously endangers a child's health or safety.
Are you talking about the age of the child? I'm not following what you're trying to state.
So under the maltreatment law, Your Honor, under a neglect case, that was found that Open Arms, by exposing a child to the climber, and that child being 19 months old, rose to the level of maltreatment by neglect.
Well, this is what I constantly think of when going through this case file. I mean, this child is 19 months old, but as I understand the record, the climber was available to any tot that had mobility. So does it even matter if the child's 19 months? What if it was 6 months? Would that make a difference?
That a six-month-old would not be a toddler. They were available to toddlers. Toddlers are defined as 16 months and older. So I don't believe six-month-olds.
So age really doesn't make a difference. I mean, as long as you're saying that only toddlers had access to the climber? Is that what you're representing?
No, you would ask if the six-month-old had access to it, and I was just identifying that, no, six-month-old children do not have access.
You wouldn't be here if that was the case. You would accept that that was not appropriate.
Well, that wasn't the case that we had analyzed, and whether a six-month-old can walk and even climb it, this is, I think, a different issue. The issue that we presented was that this is a 19-month-old here, and the department made a determination that exposure and that injury is something completely separate and irrelevant, that exposing a child to this climber rises to the level of maltreatment.
But I guess that's what I'm getting at. I mean, who makes a determination but for the warnings that's on the manufacturer's data as far as what is age appropriate? You know, you could have a 19-month-old that's very small, and you could have a child that's at that age could be very large. I mean, there's differences in abilities. So does that not have an impact on this case?
I think it's true. I think there's an arbitrary nature to all of the age appropriateness labels that are put on. We have no idea how an entity determined what was something was age appropriate. For example, the manufacturer of this. And I mean, there's a wide variety of, as you identified, people's abilities within certain age groups and so on. It's something, age appropriateness, I mean, isn't even defined within the licensing rules. It just
would
sort of
that not be the very reason a manufacturer's representations as far as restrictions or the proper use of equipment wouldn't be important to review?
Whether it's important to review or rises to the level of maltreatment, I think, are two different questions. I mean, under our maltreatment laws is different than saying whether or not you should, as any kind of caregiver, look at manufacturer information. I mean, there's nothing on this thing that says danger not for use for children under 24 months.
I don't want to call child care an industry, but in a way it is. Is there an industry standard about what's appropriate when you have equipment that's used for children? I mean, you're talking about maltreatment. I'm saying, you know, there may be some warnings. I mean, is there a practice that you can point us to that would say certain equipment, you should review the warnings, otherwise you can disregard?
I don't have any information from the industry that has anything like that. I know that the licensing rules, we have a licensing entity that licenses childcare, identifies in one line. I mean, the licensing, this is the licensing handbook put together by the state. There's one line in here that says that you should have age-appropriate items for the children. Age-appropriate, if you read it, I think is more focused on not having infants reading Kafka. You know, it's something a little bit more about making sure children are challenged and making sure that information's there. Now, of course, climbers, and also in every childcare, you have to have, by rule, three pieces of indoor large muscle equipment. So, and this is for the toddler age. Toddler age is 16 to 33 months. And in that group, the department in its rules lists as an appropriate item a climber. This is what my clients did. They used a climber. And, of course, in a case like this, you have really two laws. Or two groups of laws. You have the licensing laws, Department of Human Services, child care licensing laws, and then you have completely separately the maltreatment law. The maltreatment law does not apply uniquely to child care centers. It applies to the child care center in the same manner it applies to mom, dad, grandma, or cousin. It's a caregiver case.
Mr. Gavin, the commissioner points out and its ultimate ruling focused on the number of interviews with the staff, the director. It sounds like the director herself agreed that she probably should have given some sort of notice that the manufacturer had a two-year recommendation. And there was a number of employees that expressed concerns about it and concerns about a fall. Would that not all play a part? Perhaps separately, but in addition to the issue of the age itself of this child, in terms of the condition?
I think those are a part of it. But remember, so what we know about the climber is it had been there about a year, and there had not been a single injury. There were some statements made by teachers, in hindsight, saying they had some concerns. Not a single one of those teachers approached staff or approached management and said they had a concern. Not a single one. So just to say a staff person had a concern, I don't think implicates a child care center if that communication isn't made. Now, the incoming director identified in a required self-assessment that she had concerns about this, she removed it, and didn't want anyone to get hurt. This is a very common thing when you're required by a state agency to do a 5-point self-investigation to identify what went wrong. You identify, hey, we needed to remove it. At hearing, Mr. O'Gare, who's the director, identified, I was trying to say we want to do a better job and make sure kids don't get hurt. I certainly wasn't admitting I thought we committed maltreatment. So I think in those cases, you really kind of punish that person for saying, here are the things that we're going to do differently. They don't want people to get hurt there.
But in this case, I mean, had the climber not been moved by the prior director from the room that it was in for children 2 years and older, had it not been moved into the main room where children younger than 2 years had access to it, this accident may well not have happened.
And Judge, with all due respect, I believe that's the incorrect analysis. Because you're saying...
What is the correct analysis?
The correct analysis in a neglect case, Judge, is whether or not exposure to this item is maltreatment. The injury is irrelevant. They testified at hearing that the injury is irrelevant.
Don't we also consider whether there was an exercise of due care that was implemented or utilized or engaged in by Open Arms?
Yes, I think it does need to be looked at in a bigger sense. And they had, as part of their risk of harm procedure, they have a person that was stationed at the climber at all times that children were playing.
Well, then how did the accident happen?
The child was 19 months old, climbed up, the staff person escorted the child down, and the child immediately turned back quickly, went up, and fell over.
Okay, well, here's the deal from my perspective. This obviously isn't the most egregious maltreatment case we see. I understand it has serious implications for your client, but as a grandmother, and I go to a playground with my grandchildren, there are all sorts of different age-appropriate things. The little tiny kids want to play on the things that are not age-appropriate. And so when that happens, a diligent grandparent hovers over the child or says no and listens to a lot of screaming. Here, you're putting something out there for these children to, they're going to want to play on anything that the bigger kids play on. The problem is in your client's environment, you can't have one-on-one supervision.
That's correct, and it's not required.
No, it's not required. But doesn't that heighten the duty to not subject the younger children to activities that might endanger them because, not necessarily because of the inherently dangerous structure, but because the combination of not enough one-on-one supervision with the activity creates too high a risk of danger.
But Judge, the maltreatment law does not apply a higher level of duty to the child care. We have all these licensing laws that can deal with and are entrusted to our Department of Human Services to enforce. There are fines. There are other things you can do. Removal of items. All these things that the state has an opportunity to do that doesn't get to do with grandmothers, that doesn't get to do with uncles. That's where it's a heightened duty, but not with maltreatment. Maltreatment is separate, and it is the same for grandmother as it is for this child care. There's not anything in the child care or in the Maltreatment to Minors Act that would require that heightened duty. And I think it's not appropriate to do it. We have these licensing laws. Let's use those licensing laws. Give centers guidance on determining age appropriate.
Mr. Gaffin, can I follow up on that? So
certainly.
I'm the grandfather in the playground with Michelle Haas, and my granddaughter is playing, and she's under the age of a particular piece of equipment. Of course, if there's no accident, nothing. There's no, we don't hear any problem. I turn away briefly, she falls. Your point being, then I've committed maltreatment because I looked away when she had got on to this age-inappropriate piece of equipment and fell. Just
kind
like
of,
the daycare.
Kind of yes and no. I mean, the first part is the neglect cases are about the exposure. The department's argument is that you committed neglect, grandfather, the moment you exposed the child to it. This whole case is not about that the child fell. It is about that that Open Arms allegedly exposed this child to a condition that seriously endangers the child.
Condition being the climber and the exposing, meaning the child's in that daycare where this climber is located.
Correct, and having access.
What about the lack of due care on the part of the provider as far as making certain that the material that was underneath the climber was shock absorbable? And by the way, I don't have any grand anything, but just of concern. I mean, because did not the center have an obligation to investigate to make sure that this was the carpet and the pads were up to standards?
Well, then I would ask the question, what is the standard? The Department of Human Services,
through the
licensing division, there are no standards. So they
not have to exercise due care and make a determination of what would be appropriate.
And that was determined. And the center director determined that due care was adding a 2-inch mat around the entire structure. So there's carpet and a 2-inch mat. I'd also identify that during this entire case, as it was litigated, the fall zone was not a basis for a maltreatment determination at all. In fact, when I asked the investigator at the time, I said, if she had identified that she didn't identify anything inherently dangerous about the climber, and I asked her if the manufacturer recommended that it was okay for 19 months old, would you have found maltreatment? She said, no. It was solely that the manufacturer had made that recommendation. There was no independent basis. There was nothing else. It had nothing to do with the fall zone. I'd also identify that when DHS comes in and investigates, they have obligation to also, they can issue correction orders. They have a licensing component they can use as well. They didn't make a finding that the fall zone was wrong in any way. They didn't go anywhere else. I mean, there's a little history, too, with this climber. You know, the director that came over had worked with the same climber for 5 years at a different child care, same age group. There were no injuries. And when the department became aware of that, they didn't go over to the other child care and remove the climber. For all we know, that climber is still there with the same age children doing the same thing. And I think what the judge identified during that hearing, I mean, I thought was a really common sense statement. You know, it's on page 10. He identified, you know, when I look at this piece of equipment, I go, well, it doesn't seem to leap out, at least to me, and it didn't seem to leap out to you. And he's talking to the investigator. When Mr. Geffen was asking as well, this is really dangerous for little kids. And the child fell off it. A child could get on a chair and fall off a chair. I could see a child could get on tables. I'm sure there are tables, too.
And he also said, the determination is whether it was reasonably foreseeable.
I think it's identifying, though, that this item by itself is not something that inherently seriously endangers the health and safety of children. I see that my
time's up. You'll have your rebuttal time. Thank you.
Thank you, Judge.
We'll hear from the commissioner.
Morning, Your Honors. Nicholas Anderson, Assistant Attorney General, appearing on behalf of the Department of Human Services. And Your Honors, my goal today is to keep this simple because this case really is simple. Open Arms Christian Learning Center is a child care facility that is obligated under Minnesota law to protect children from conditions that seriously endanger their physical or mental health when they're reasonably able to do so. And Open Arms failed to carry out that obligation in this case when it installed a piece of climbing equipment without reviewing any of its own policies, without reviewing the manufacturer's instructions that were provided along with the climber, and just installing basically this equipment on a guess and allowing children of any age, and yes, that does include children as young as 1 year old in this case, it's amply supported in the record, despite this climber being, the manufacturer's instructions saying that this climber is only safe for children 2 and up. So given the circumstances, the department's decision in this case to cite Open Arms for maltreatment was a relatively clear one. It was supported by a thorough investigation. There's over 100 pages of oral argument testimony, 32 department exhibits, including Open Arms' own policies, Open Arms' internal review of this incident, multiple interviews with Open Arms staff, and neutral factual sources, again, like that climber's manufacturer's instructions. So
what about the department's policies? Does the department go, what's the licensing process like? Does the department go out and look at the site before it licenses for child care?
Your Honor, certainly there are actually, it's my understanding is separate departments. There's a licensing department that does site visits. And there is an investigatory department that actually investigates these.
I'm talking about the site visit.
And yes, Your Honor, there is a site visit that reviews the child care agency, but ultimately the child care center's responsibility is to comply with the law. It is not the department's responsibility to make sure that they flag and catch every single detail that could potentially be a violation of the law.
I'm not talking about every single detail.
Sure.
What we're talking about is a climber that's obvious. I mean, it's not like somebody from the department has to go in and peel wallpaper back to see if there's lead paint. I mean, this is obvious. You can see it. It's open. So if the department is making site visits and making an initial licensing decision, why would it not say to the provider, we need to see the manufacturer's recommendations for that piece of equipment that is open and obvious in this room to know whether or not you're dangerously exposing children who are too young to it?
Your Honor, in this
license you if you have it there.
In this case, I mean, it really does not operate as a full audit in that sense. It obviously depends on the licensing site visit. But again, I would just say that it's not, again, the department's obligation to necessarily comply with the law at the end of the day. There is authority from, sorry, go ahead.
What you seem to be suggesting is that even if the piece of equipment, which is right there in front of anybody making a site visit, isn't obviously dangerous, it's incumbent upon providers to read the manufacturer's representations and warnings?
Your Honor, I would argue that it is, it is the department or the license holder's responsibility to take reasonable steps to prevent injury. And, you know, as stated persuasively in both the ALJ and the commissioner's decision on page 7 and 9, respectively, a child care facility in their exercise of reasonable judgment should look at these instructions. And when reviewing those instructions, things that aren't necessarily, visible to the eye become obvious. And that's a really important point. It's not the eye test. It's whether reasonable steps were taken. And in this case, there were several reasonable steps missed. And again, Your Honor,
give me a few of those. Since there were several, give me 2 or 3 of the reasonable steps that were missed.
Your Honor, first, the Open Arms' own policies in this case specify a specific type of fall protection, and Open Arms declined to utilize that fall protection. There, again, are the manufacturer's instructions that Open Arms did not review. And really, Your Honor,
give me another one. You said there were several. So the first one
is... Are you referring to the checklist that Open Arms had?
Correct, Your Honor. There is a checklist, and I believe that's DHS Exhibit 12, DHS 307, which requires 10 to 12 inches of impact-absorbing material. There are the manufacturer's instructions. Again, that's Exhibit 17 that requires 9 inches of loose fill material. There are, again, those employee concerns that we're talking about, that employees specifically thought that the climber was inappropriate for younger kids. I'll point to Exhibit 21, DHS 169, which is Amanda Cloud's interview, where she specifically says, younger kids are having difficulties with this climber, and that I'm worried about a potential fall. And this is a statement that was echoed by other staff. So there are several indications that there should have been an investigation, again, both on the age issue, but it's not just the age issue. There was a significant deficit in the fall protection that was utilized. And all of these sources, they said, don't install this indoors, don't install this over carpet, because there are serious concerns about the impact absorbing potential when you're installing it in that manner. So, again, Your Honor, there are all those reasonable steps that could have been taken, and the bottom line here is that Open Arms did not take any steps. Open Arms director just placed the climber in this case in an all-ages playroom and just bought a mat guessing that it was going to be fine.
I noticed, and Mr. Geffen points this out, that it seems like the investigator, the ALJ, even the commissioner really didn't focus on the fall issue. That seemed to really focus on the climber and the age. Mm-hmm. And I'm assuming we can somewhat presume that a manufacturer's purpose for putting an age may have more to do with their limitations of liability than it might be some scientific analysis of we've done studies and kids under 24 months have fallen at the rate of this, so we're going to put this age. So in this case, and in answer to your question of Judge Shellhouse, that the investigators that had been through here, it on its face didn't raise any concerns, and I think that the commissioner concedes that it's not the accident itself, although that's what brings us here. Wouldn't that mean then, in effect, if it's not the accident itself and there was never previous any concerns about the item, the climber itself, then isn't it really a supervision issue? And that's what we get to in terms of neglect. Was there supervision? And I understand from the record there were supervisors at each end of this climber, which is their normal protocol, and one may have admitted to turn away briefly. Isn't that really what the focus in the end is? Was there proper supervision of this climber?
Your Honor, I would disagree with that characterization for a couple of reasons. So you mentioned that there was an argument that fall protection wasn't necessarily an issue, and I would dispute that characterization. I think that the investigative memorandum, which was attached to the notice and order for pre-hearing conference and hearing, attached to the order to pay fine, it specifically mentions fall protection. This issue was extensively appears in the transcript. It was argued by both parties. Actually, Open Arms argued this issue in response to the department's exceptions to the ALJ's decision. It's in the ALJ's decision. It's in the commissioner's decision. So that was very much a significant issue in this case. And again, the reason I would say that it's not a supervision issue is because those are fall protection is just so obviously a safety issue. At age, in this case, again, when you're talking about unstable children that don't necessarily have developed motor skills, that is a clear safety issue. So it's really not. The department has no. The department is not making the argument in this case that there was inadequate supervision. The supervision was adequate. The problem is there were other steps that rendered this a serious health and safety risk, and for that reason, it because those reasonable steps that we talked about weren't taken, this is a neglect issue. So that
being the case, then, if supervision is not the issue and the padding fall protection is, so a child that's a little less than 5 months older has the exact same fall, there would not be maltreatment, but specifically because the child was under 24 months, there is.
I'm sorry, Your Honor. Can you restate the question?
In other words, and I think this was an answer to the investigator during an earlier hearing, if the child had been approximately 5 months older, had the exact same fall, exact same injuries, we have the exact same padding, that would not be maltreatment, but simply because this child was 19 months, the manufacturer recommends 24, that's the maltreatment.
Again, I would say that definitely the fall protection is an issue as well, but more importantly, the issue is that this was a climber that was readily available. It was in the all-ages playroom, so it wasn't just
The commissioner hasn't made any kind of an assertion that there was inadequate supervision. That's not an issue, is it?
It's not, no.
Okay.
And to finish answering your question, this was in an all-ages playroom, and staff basically said, when they can walk is when they can use it. And the consensus is that was about 12 months is generally when kids were able to use this climber. So it's not just the one 19-month-old, Your Honor, even though that child is, in fact, underage. Again, as Open Arms states, it's not the injury that's an issue. It's the fact that this posed a serious health and safety risk to a number of kids, and even of age kids, because of that fall protection issue. So, again, it's really not... It's not about, that. The neglect issue, again, is not about an injury, a specific injury, or a specific set of circumstances. So, one thing I do want to mention here is there are all these arguments, based on what the department did or didn't flag, did or didn't do, what the nurse consultant in this case may not have done. But again, the real thrust of this inquiry is that Open Arms did nothing. And there's brought up even these U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission guidelines. And Open Arms actually didn't look at these guidelines even. Ironically, if Open Arms had followed these guidelines, they would have realized that the instructions within those guidelines are literally identical to the manufacturer's instructions. And the manufacturer's instructions in this case state on Exhibit 17, DHS 70, that they are based on these Consumer Product Safety Commission guidelines. So really, there were a number of things available to Open Arms in this case to ensure that this was not a serious health and safety risk. And if Open Arms, had considered any of these sources, then we wouldn't be here today. And the problem is that they just didn't. And substantial evidence, we've talked about the substantial evidence in the record indicating that the resulting dangers to children based on that inaction constituted maltreatment by neglect. And Your Honors, it really is that simple. And, I do have a couple minutes remaining. I'm happy to answer any more of the court's questions, but otherwise I'll cede the remainder of my time.
Thank you, Mr. Anderson. And we'll hear from Mr. Is it a hard G, Geffen? Geffen.
Geffen.
Geffen, thank you.
So, thank you, Your Honors. In terms of supervision, which has been addressed, it was explicitly identified throughout the record that there were no supervision issues. Both the facility was in ratio at the time in the center, and they found it significant that the staff person was standing right at the base of the walker per the instructions of the risk reduction plan. I want to identify in terms of the fall protection. It was identified, and I think Your Honor identified this as well, at hearing Lindsay Arth, who was the investigator, identified that the sole issue is the age, not the fall zone. When the case was first docketed for hearing, it was identified the sole issue was about this 19-month-old and whether exposure to a climber that was not age-appropriate rose to the level of maltreatment. The fall protection has been raised, it's been discussed, but I don't think it's ever been an independent basis. I don't think we even received, if that is an independent basis, any actual notice that that was going to be a litigation moment. I asked Ms. Arth, the DHS investigator at the hearing, I asked her whether she was aware of any specific requirements regarding what is an adequate fall zone. She said she was not aware. And then again, this is the DHS investigator. It was also identified that this isn't really about one case, it's about the exposure of the entire facility to this. That is not how the case came to us. It came to us as very specific regarding a 19-month-old child and nothing more. I'd also note, really kind of in conclusion, that when the investigator initially came out, saw the climber, didn't strike her as anything that was inherently dangerous. And her query into it only became elevated when she looked it up and saw that it was recommended for 20-month-old, not the 19-month-old. But when she did her initial walkthrough, she noticed nothing. And I think that led very much to the judge's decision and statement that when you first saw it, didn't strike you as something that was so inherently dangerous that it would rise to the level of maltreatment. And at this point, I have nothing else, and certainly I'm willing to accept any questions from the panel. If there's anything else.
I'm sorry, did you have a question?
No, I don't. All right.
Thank you to both attorneys. The matters were well argued and well briefed. Decision will be issued in the statutory time frame.
Thank you, Judge.
Thank you.